وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم تحنن على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما تحننت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم سلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما سلمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك وسلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد وارحم محمد وآل محمد كما صليت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد صلاة تكون لك رضا وله جزاء ولحقه أداء وأعطه الوسيلة والفضيلة والمقام المحمود الذي وعدته، واجزه عنا ما هو أهله، واجزه أفضل ما جازيت نبينا لقومه ورسولنا لأمته، وصل على جميع إخوانه من النبيين والصالحين يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل علينا معهم. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك علينا معهم. صلوات الله وصلوات المؤمنين على محمد النبي الأمي. اللهم اجعل صلواتك ورحمتك وبركاتك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما جعلتها على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وصلى الله على النبي الأمي 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 وصلى الله على النبي الأمي. التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات، والسلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله، السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات لله الطيبات الصلوات لله، السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله، سلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، سلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بسم الله وبالله، التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات، السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أسأل الله الجنة وأعوذ بالله من النار. التحيات الزاكيات لله، الطيبات الصلوات لله، السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، بسم الله وبالله خير الأسماء، التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا، وأن الساعة آتية لا ريب فيها، السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين، اللهم اغفر لي واهدني، التحيات الطيبات والصلوات والملك لله، السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، بسم الله التحيات لله، الصلوات لله، الزاكيات لله، السلام على النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين، شهدت أن لا إله إلا الله، شهدت أن محمد رسول الله، التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأن محمد عبده ورسوله، السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين، التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد عبد الله ورسوله، السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين، التحيات الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين، التحيات لله، الصلوات الطيبات، السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله، السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله، بسم الله والسلام على 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 رسول الله، اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. So you can read the other درود as well. اللهم صل وسلم على نبي الرحمة وآله. 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 بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. For some reason I think we're starting a bit late today. Here on my clock here it says 8:03. We usually start at about 5 to 8. So let's hope that we can cover all our 5 ahadith. I'll read the 5 ahadith. Last week I did the 5 as well. And they were about the importance of following the example set by the prophets. So Allah Ta'ala, when He created mankind, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala chose certain individuals. They are, and Allah Ta'ala is pleased with them, and they are viewed, and Allah Ta'ala declared them to be the best of creation. They're the best of mankind. And they are, إِنَّ اللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ اللَّهُ يَصْطَفِي مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ رُسُلًا وَمِنَ النَّاسِ. And elsewhere Allah says, اللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ حَيْثُ يَجْعَلُ رِسَالَتَهُ. So the first ayat means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selects and chooses His messengers from the malaika, from the angels, and from the human beings. So the malaika, the rusul, the messengers, the prophets, they are a selection of the Almighty Allah. They are people, individuals, that are handpicked by Allah the Almighty, and Allah Ta'ala speaks to them. Allah Ta'ala sends His message to them, and through them Allah Ta'ala talks to mankind. And Allah Ta'ala declares, say, and people are told to obey and listen to those messengers. And those who do not listen to those messengers, they are declared as doomed, they are declared as the unfortunate, and they are declared as the rebels. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we read the hadith last week as well. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that my example is like the example of someone who the hadith that we read last week was slightly different. The hadith we read here was that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that my entire ummah will be admitted to paradise except those who refuse to do so. So what he said, that everyone is going to Jannah. Every single Muslim will go to Jannah. Muslim, non-Muslim, everyone will go to Jannah except those who refuse to enter Jannah. Now the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, is there anyone who would refuse to enter Jannah? If he's invited to, Allah Ta'ala says, on the day of judgment, come to Jannah, will there be anyone who would refuse? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, those who listen to me, they'll enter Jannah, and those who do not listen to me, they have in essence, have refused to enter Jannah. Because I'm not calling you to my worship. I'm not even asking you to give me some gifts. I'm not even asking that give some gifts to my family. I've declared zakat haram upon my family. My descendants, my children, they can't take your zakat money. I've not asked them, I've not come to declare me and my family as the kings and as the royals. They are just like you, those who listen, those who follow the divine instructions, they are the pious, and those who don't, they will not even enter Jannah. Someone can be from Ahlul Bayt, someone can be from a member of the Prophet's household, yet not admitted to Jannah because they refuse to believe, like Abu Lahab. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, Tabbat yada Abi Lahabin wa tab. So since he had refused to believe in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's doomed and he's cursed. He was cursed. So similarly, if today someone says that I'm Ahlul Bayt, yet he does not pray salah, yet he does not give zakah, yet he's not honest, yet he's not truthful, yet he does not stay away from the path of sin, then he's doomed. He's doomed. If he says something, he'll not be listened to. And if he offers an opinion, gives an advice, it won't be valid, because this person has zero knowledge of the Quran and Sunnah. So Ahlul Bayt are important. However, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not come to establish his royalty or claim any special authority for himself or for his family. He has, yes, special authority for himself as a Nabi of Allah, as a Rasul of Allah. He said that if you listen to me, you'll enter Jannah, and if you refuse to listen to me, you are in fact refusing to enter Jannah. So this is the case with every prophet, and this is what Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran. If you go in Surah Al-Shu'ara and throughout the Quran, pick up anywhere where Allah Ta'ala has mentioned the story of a prophet, whether Nuh alayhi salam, or Idris alayhi salam, or Musa alayhi salam, or Saleh alayhi salam, or Hud alayhi salam, or Shoaib alayhi salam, or Lut alayhi salam, or Ibrahim alayhi salam. They all said to people, Fattaqullaha wa ati'un. Fattaqullaha wa ati'un. Listen to Allah, fear Allah and listen to me. Do as I say. Do as I say. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, Man yuta'ir rasoola faqad ata'a Allah. Whoever listens to the messenger has indeed listened to me. Whoever obeys me has indeed obeyed me. And the prophets, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the messengers, Allah ta'ala protects them. Allah ta'ala guides them. If they make a smallest of error, it gets pointed out to them. And people are made aware of it, even though it's not a big thing if you look at it from our perspective. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah says, فَلَبِثَ فِيهِمْ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ إِلَّا خَمْسِينَ عَامًا. He had preached for 950 years. And after that 950 years, when people didn't listen, Allah Ta'ala says, Allah Ta'ala said to Ya Nuh, Allah Ta'ala said to him that, build an ark. And then he said, take you and your family to the ark. Now, Nuh alayhi salam did so, but his son refused to listen to him. He refused to board the ark. Now, then when the flood started and he was about to be overtaken, he was overtaken by a wave. Nuh alayhi salam pleaded to Allah, "You had said to me that you'll save my family, you'll spare my family. Inna bani min ahli, and my son was from my family. And anta ahkamul hakimin, and you are the best of judges. You know that you had promised that you'll save my family, and my son's my family, and he has drowned. My Lord, you won't make a mistake." And the Almighty Allah said, "Innahu laysa min ahlik, innahu amalun ghayru salih." He's not from your family because his conduct wasn't righteous. Now we talk about Ahlul Bayt as well. That's a separate matter. That's not the subject today. إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِ. Now this was not a big thing. Yani, Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam at most had made an error of a judgment. But if you compare it with 950 years of devotion, 950 years of preaching, and it was without any cost. He wasn't being paid for it. And he was being beaten. They say sometimes Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam was beaten so severely that he'd become unconscious and he would be in bed for months. And then he would recover and his wounds would get healed and then he'll get back to business and start doing the same thing. And this went on for 950 years. Until came that time when Nuh alayhi salam said, there's no hope left. I've tried every single trick on the planet, every single tartib on the planet. Anything that was possible, I did it. I use the word trick metaphorically. So anything that was possible, I've done it, but these guys don't listen. So Allah Ta'ala said, now okay, fine, build the ark. So he does. But when he makes that little error, he says, إِنَّهُ إِنَّ بَنِي مِنْ أَهْلِي. What did Allah Ta'ala say to him? إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ إِنِّي أَعِذُكَ أَن تَكُونَ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. Such a severe warning. You being advised, lest you become from amongst the ignorant ones. Now this was, and then Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam was so overwhelmed with this guilt that I prayed for my son when I shouldn't have. That even on the day of judgment, the Prophet ﷺ said, when people will go to Nuh alayhi salam and ask him to come, please do shifaat for us, that the hisab should start, he will say, no, I can't. I remember that I had prayed for my son and my Lord didn't like it, so I don't qualify for this. Go to someone else, go to Ibrahim alayhi salam. So this is how the smallest of thing gets pointed out to the prophets. So what is left is perfect. What is left is perfect. That is the model for mankind. That is the uswa. قَدْ كَانَتْ لَكُمْ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ فِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. So this is, they become an ideal, they become the role models. So whatever, so if one Nabi does something, that's very special. Imagine if all the prophets did something, every single Nabi did it, then that becomes extremely important. And that is the subject that we are currently discussing, al-fitra, and this is the fitra we're talking about. So this was the five ahadith we did last week. That's the summary of it. So today, moving on. So those teachings that were common amongst all the prophets are the ones that we'll be looking at, inshallah, in the weeks ahead. So today's the riwayat today that I'm going to start with, I think I read it last week, but I'm just going to, because I want to connect the thread, so I'm going to start with this. It says here, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, this hadith is reported by Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayh. First I'll just quickly go through the ahadith, and then if I have time, I'll start elaborating, and then we'll discuss the ahkam as well. So the first thing we're going to talk about is circumcision. Fitra is the nature that Allah Ta'ala has created mankind upon. The first man that Allah created, Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, the nature that Allah Ta'ala had granted him, that is al-fitra, which is mentioned in the Quran as well. Fitrat Allah allati fatara an-nasa 'alayha la tabdila li khalqi Allah. Allah Ta'ala says, do not change the way Allah has created things. Do not change, try not to change the DNA, that mechanism, that nature that Allah Ta'ala created mankind with. He does not permit it. So since every Nabi, they upheld these practices, they maintained these characteristics, and they preserved it, these teachings become very important. So there are quite a few, as I mentioned previously, some have said they are up to 37, okay? And some have said even more or less, but inshallah we'll go through them. Hopefully inshallah we'll try and complete them this year. So every week we're trying to do five ahadith. Hopefully we'll try to cover 200 in the year, and within 200 inshallah we'll try to, aaj kaun chautha hafta hai, teesra hai, it's the fourth week today, so we're meant to do 20, so 16 to 20, five ahadith today. So let's try and go through. The last week I read this one, and I'm reading it again, so this is not one of the five. You can say this is one of the five from the last week. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الفطرة خمس أو خمس من أو قال خمس من الفطرة الختان والاستحداد ونتف الإبط وتقليم الأظفار وقص الشارب رواه البخاري وأبو داود رحمه الله. من بخاري أبو داود رحمه الله. They both have reported this hadith on the authority of سيدنا أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه, who's reported from رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, that he said five practices are characteristics of the fitrah. They are characteristics of the fitra. What is fitra? Fitra is that state upon which Allah Ta'ala created Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, and all the prophets were created with it, and they all had it. So those intrinsic features of every prophet's personality. So those five things are min al fitra. They are not. Fitra isn't only about these five things. Fitra is more. There are other things that are part of fitra, but these five things are part of fitra. What are the five things mentioned here? Number one is al-khitan. Al-khitan is circumcision. So we'll talk about circumcision in today's majlis and next week's majlis. Today I'll probably be reading a hadith. As I said, the time will not allow me to finish. And next week, inshallah, whatever gets left, hopefully we'll try and finish in today's and next majlis. The subject of circumcision. How important is it? When should it be done? And what about the new Muslims? And what about its history, the benefits, etc.? What about for women? We'll talk about these subjects today and next week. So circumcision. One of the five things that are part of fitra according to this hadith. Number two, shaving the pubic region. Wal istihdad, pubic region between your legs. That is the al istihdad. This is part of fitra. You must shave. You must not leave the hair to grow there forever. Shaving those and removing and cleaning that area, removing the hair is fitra. This is important. Next is natful ibt. Natful ibt is the translated here. That's plucking the armpits. Plucking the armpits, hair, removing hair from the armpits, that is also important. You shouldn't just let it grow. The hair, you should not let the hair grow there. You should make sure that is clean and that the hair are removed regularly. وَتَقْلِيمُ الْأَظْفَارِ That is clipping the nails. You are not allowed to let your nails grow forever. So then you must trim your nails regularly. And that is the subject we'll come to later. This week and next week we'll be focusing at al-khitan only. And then after that, وَقَصُّ الشَّارِبِ Cutting the mustache. Cutting the mustache is short. That is also part of al-fitra. So these are things, inshallah, slowly, gradually, we'll discuss in the days ahead. Sorry, the weeks ahead. The second hadith, again, this one mentions four things. Now, this one doesn't use the word fitra. This is from one of the five from today. An-Nabi Ayyuba, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, arba'un min sunan al-mursaleen, al-haya'u, wa yurwa al-khitanu, wa ta'atturu, wa siwaku, wa nikahu. Rawahu al-Tirmidhi. Here the word al-fitra is not used. Here the word used is sunanul mursaleen. And when the sunanul mursaleen means there are four characteristics pertaining to the practices of the messengers. So the messengers of Allah had these characteristics. So constant thing that every Nabi had. And there are four things mentioned in this hadith. As I said, different features are mentioned in different ahadith. And this is for a reason. The reason is that depending on the audience and what mattered to them most, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would mention to them what they needed to know. He wasn't like, he wouldn't open up an encyclopedia and give a long list of 500 things for people to take home. No, he would speak to people at their level. Whatever was more important to them, he would mention it to them. Someone came and he said, Ya Rasulullah, give me some advice. And the Prophet ﷺ would say, listen to your parents, be kind to your parents. Another person comes and he says, Ya Rasulullah, give me some advice. And the Prophet ﷺ said, pray salah on time. Someone comes and he says, Ya Rasulullah, give me some advice. And the Prophet ﷺ would say to him, be charitable. And someone comes and he says, Ya Rasulullah, give me some advice. And the Prophet ﷺ would say amantu billah and be steadfast and be steadfast in it. And another person comes and says, give me some advice. And the Prophet ﷺ would say, La taghdab, do not be angry. So depending upon the people, what they needed to do, what they were in need of, the Prophet ﷺ would mention, and people would take home, and then they would learn, they would share this with their students and their children and their tribesmen, and then later scholars, they picked up these pearls from different tribes, different regions, different families, different sahaba, and they collected them and they gathered them. And one sahabi says, the Prophet ﷺ said this, the other sahabi said this. So you say, these are both, mashallah, reliable people. So you put them together, and that's how you get the full picture. So here he says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the four things are part of the traditions of the messengers. Al-haya, the first one he said that he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mentioned modesty. Anbiya were all modest. They had haya. Wo besharam nahi the. They were all modest. Sare nabi haya wale the. Haya, behaya hona, besharam hona, this is bad. Okay, to not have any modesty and to have a big mouth and to be shameless, that is not how the prophets were. So modesty, and some say, and some students from Abu Ayyub, they've reported that he said al-khitan, it wasn't al-haya, he said circumcision. So circumcision is one of the characteristics of the prophets. The other thing he mentioned, the wearing of perfume, itar lagana, khushbu lagana, that is also sunnat of the prophets. And then the use of toothstick, miswak, is a sunnat of the prophets. Every prophet did it, and they all used to clean their teeth. And lastly, an-nikah, to be married. To be married is a sunnat. This is the way how the prophets lived. Next one, inshallah. An Talq ibn Habibin qala 10 min as-sunnati as-siwak wa qass sharibi wal madmadatu wal istinshaq wa tawfir al-lihyati wa qass al-adfar wa nadf al-ibti wal khitan wa halq al-anati wa ghusl wa ghasl ad-duburi rawahu an-nasa'i wa qala wa dhakara al-hadith. Okay, so here Talq ibn Habib says, now this is this is mursal. Okay, so Talq ibn Habib is not even a Sahabi, he's a Tabi'i. So he says that ashrat min sunnah. There are 10 things that are from the sunnah. So he does not use the word al-fitra. He uses the word as-sunnah. So there is a lesson here. There's a point to be noted here. Al-fitra is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not only Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but as I explained earlier, sunnah of all the prophets. So he says 10 things are from the sunnah. Firstly, he says as-siwak. Then he says, using miswak, waqassu sharib, trimming the mustaches. Then is al-madmada, rinsing the mouth. So in the morning you wake up, you rinse your mouth. After having a food, you rinse your mouth. And part of wudu is rinsing your mouth. Rinsing of the mouth is a sunnah of the anbiya, of the prophets. Rinsing the nostrils. So rinsing your nostrils and cleaning your nose, that is also part of sunnah. We'll talk about the more details and the wisdom in this teaching in later on when we get to this subject. And then he said, tawfiru lihya, letting the beard grow. So let the beard grow. We'll talk about the ahkam of lihya, beard, later inshallah. And then trimming the nails, qassu al-adfar, wa nadfu al-ibt, plucking the armpit hair. And then al-khitan, he mentions again circumcision in this hadith as well. And that al-khitan is what we're looking at today. And then he says, halqul ana, shaving the pubes, and waghslu dubur, and washing one's backside. After you've been to the toilet, after having responded to the call of nature, you wash your private parts, the front side and the rear side. That is part of sunnah. You keep yourself clean, and you do not walk away with filth and with impurity on you. So that's how many hadiths. Two. Next one. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اختتن إبراهيم النبي وهو ابن 80 سنة بالقدوم. متفق عليه. That Abu Hurairah reported the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that Ibrahim alayhi salam, the prophet, circumcised himself with an axe when he was 80 years old. Subhanallah. When he was 80 years old, he circumcised himself with an axe. How did he do with an axe? Must be a very, very painful. But Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he made sure, because cutting it, he may have found it difficult. So whatever mechanism he used, maybe just with one hit, he did the act. He couldn't find someone to do it for him. Maybe it wasn't common at the time, but he was a Nabi of Allah. And he knew that this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes. So he, or because he was at that age, he did not like to expose his satr to anyone. He did not like to be seen by other people. So because of his sharam and his haya, he had a haya as well, because he's a Nabi of Allah. So just to make it quick, just one cut, he did it with a qadum. So qadum, as I said, is an axe. Others say the word is not qadum, it's qaddum. And qaddum is a place, is a city in Syria. So in that case, it would mean that he was in the city Qaddum when he had that circumcision performed. But the scholars say, this hadith is reported by both Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim rahimahullah, whether he did it with an axe or whether he did it in the city Qaddum, he did it at an old age. In fact, there's another hadith. This hadith, I said, is mentioned by Imam Bukhari and Muslim, muttafaqun alayh. There's another hadith which Imam Bukhari has mentioned in another collection of his, which is Al-Adab Al-Mufrad. There he's reported the age of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam even more. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال اختتن إبراهيم صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو ابن 20 ثم عاش بعد ذلك 80 سنة. Abu Huraira says that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had his circumcision done when he was 120 years old. And thereafter he lived for 80 years. So it seems that the first one is the most mashhur riwayat, which is better known and more frequently reported than the second one. However, there's another opinion as well that he did it at an old age when he was even beyond 80, at 120. You can only imagine how difficult it must have been. But Ibrahim alayhi salam is Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was very devout when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's very humble. He doesn't make excuses. He doesn't make, oh, I can't do this because I'm older. When Allah ta'ala says something, he said, ready, my Lord, here at your service, whatever you say, he would not make excuses. Then this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala liked most. Next hadith is again Mursal, and Sa'id ibn Musayyib, rahimahullah, yaqulu, kana Ibrahimu khalilur rahmani, awwalun nasi, ضيف الضيف وأول الناس اختتنا وأول الناس قص شاربه وأول الناس رأى الشيب فقال يا ربي ما هذا قال رب تبارك وتعالى وقار يا إبراهيم قال رب زدني وقارا رواه مالك. Now this hadith we'll need to explain inshallah, and we'll go through it later, that Ibrahim عليه الصلاة والسلام خليل الرحمن, the beloved of the friend of the most compassionate Lord, was the first man to entertain a guest, the first man to be circumcised, the first man to clip his mustache, and the first man to notice grey hair. So he said, what is this, my Lord? The Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal replied, dignity, Ibrahim. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam pleaded, my Lord, give me more dignity. This is reported by Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi. This riwayat suggests that Ibrahim alayhi salam is the first person who had his circumcision done. And the ahadith up above, they say that this is al-fitra, this is from Sunan al-Mursaleen, every Nabi had it done. So there appears to be some contradiction, some clash between the two narrations. But maybe this hadith here does not mean the first human being, it means that in his society, in his culture, in the civilization that he became the head of later, nobody did circumcision. There was no concept of the hair that grew during the period of unbelief, and get yourself circumcised. So the circumcision, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed this new Muslim who had just come to Islam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed him to get circumcision done and have his circumcision performed. So new people that came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those who had the ability and capacity and whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam trusted, and he felt that they were able to do it, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would teach them, would ask them to get their circumcision done, because this is something that is important. And there's more to it. The next hadith is a bit long one, but it's an amazing one, where circumcision is mentioned to be a defining feature of the ummah of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We'll discuss it this week. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept whatever is said. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the barakah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil mursaleen. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma a'inna ala thikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin salatan tunjina biha min jami'il ahwal wal afat. Wa taqdirana biha jami'il hajat. Wa tutahiruna biha min jami'il sayyat. Wa tarfa'una biha ala darajat. Wa tubalighuna biha أقصى الغايات من جميع الخيرات في الحياة وبعد الممات، إنك على كل شيء قدير. اللهم انصر دينك وكتابك وسنة نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب عمل يبلغنا إلى حبك. اللهم اجعل حبك أحب إلينا من نفوسنا وأهلنا ومن الماء البارد. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في غزة وفي فلسطين وفي سائر بلاد العالم يا رب العالمين. اللهم إنا نسألك الخير كله عاجله وآجله. اللهم إنا نسألك خير ما سألك منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، آمين برحمتك يا رحمة الله. جزاكم الله خيرا. Hopefully inshallah you'll continue with your Durood Sharif 3,000 per week minimum and 10,000 at least, those who are able to. جزاكم الله خيرا.